Good morning, everybody. Good to be able to talk to you this morning. Obviously, we're having to kind of revert a little bit back because my son Matthew's partner at work tested positive for the COVID-19. Matthew himself has tested negative, but because of the contacts that we have with Dennis, for example, and myself and some of the others, that we thought it would be prudent for us to not meet physically this Sunday and for the next Sunday. And I'll keep you abreast of all the things that are taking place there. So we have a prayer that was given by George Washington for the nation. George Washington begins by saying, "Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to the government, and attain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large. And finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with charity, humility, pacific temperament of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without whose example in these things we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through the Lord Jesus, our Lord. Amen." I would encourage you to look that prayer up. It is, I think, a very apropos one for this time and place. Thank you. Let's look at our scripture this morning, which is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth." Since the founding of this great nation, ministers have always instructed their congregations not in whom to vote for, but what the Bible says about the issues that may be confronting them in the forefront of their political and national life, and what the Bible says about the government itself. These sermons used to be called Election Day sermons, but today it seems that no trespassing signs have been erected. Preachers must be silent. All kinds of powerful forces have been marshaled to threaten preachers, intimidate them, and to silence them, like taking away tax-exempt status to churches, that non-for-profit tax-exempt status that churches have, to audit individual pastors on their own income tax returns, to pressure them to be silent. For example, January the 2nd, 2020, the megachurch King Jesus International Ministry, which happens to be in Miami, Florida, the IRS revoked the church's nonprofit status for holding a Trump rally. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, a non-for-profit organization, the claimant therein, demanding a prompt investigation of the church. They used the Johnson Amendment to bring pressure upon the church. And I would encourage you to go and look up the Johnson Amendment. It is a horrible amendment. It should be recalled and amended. But listen, where God has spoken, we not only have the obligation to do so, we need to do so. Because this is still America. And at least for now, we have the privilege and the right to speak. The very First Amendment is talking about freedom of speech. Freedom of speech, the free press, freedom of assembly, free to protest, and freedom of religion. Not from religion, but of religion. I read a little story about a little boy who wanted $100 very badly. He prayed to the Lord God for about 2 weeks, but nothing happened. Then he decided to write a letter to God requesting that $100. When the postal authorities received the letter to God, USA, they decided, let's send it to the President of the United States. So the President was receiving this little boy's request, and he was so impressed and touched and amused that he instructed his secretary to send the young boy $50. The President thought this would appear to be a lot of money to the little boy. The little boy was delighted when he got the check for $50, and he immediately wrote a thank you note back to God that read, "Dear God, thank you very much for sending me the money. However, I noticed that for some reason you had it sent through Washington, D.C., and as usual, those devils kept half of it." Well, it does seem like that's the principle, isn't it? But as Americans, and as believer priests before God Almighty, as Christians, as born-again believers, it's imperative for you and me to remind each other that the epicenter of Jesus Christ's glorious kingdom is not located on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Secondly, the purpose of God has never been thwarted by the hands of sinful men. A streak that will not end this November 3rd. Such recognition is based upon biblical principles. Thirdly, President Trump and Vice President Biden are like you and me. They're feeble creatures of dust. They're worthy of our respect. First Peter tells us and states to us that we're to honor all men, love the brotherhood, and fear God, and honor the King. So let us pray for our rulers. Let us pay our taxes. Let us choose our candidates prayerfully and wisely, then cast our votes, but always doing so as one whose trust is in the Lord, and our anchor is in His Word, not in this world. As the inspired writer of Hebrews 11:16 says, "But now they desired," they, the people of God, "a better country." We as God's people need to have our heart's desire to have a better country. That is a heavenly, as the scripture says. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. I love America. I'm sure that you do too. But I desire, and I'm like the writer of Hebrews says, looking for a better country. Second Peter says, a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness shall dwell. We know that this will not take place in the current time frame of being, but nevertheless, we strive for that. November 3rd is in His mighty hands. I have no fear. We should have no fear. I read a sermon from a pastor this week from the Early Rain Covenant Church in Chengdu, Chengdu, China, that the communist government forced to shut down and close its doors. It was a 100-member church. The communists were so afraid of this church that they closed them down and used that they were inciting subversion from the state. I think that this should be a reminder of us and to us that the power of the gospel is beyond our understanding, and to those who are antiquated, those who are deliberately and forcefully standing against the Word of God, it is a threat. Here's what Pastor Y.I., I don't know how to say that, I should text with Pastor Kim, but Y.I. said, no matter how messed up Chinese society is, this is a quote, no matter how despotic the rulers of China are, as long as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is there, as long as the gospel is still being preached, Chinese society is moving towards the ultimate political solution. And this ultimate political solution is the gospel of truth, even though it may not be influencing politics right now and in this society at this moment, it shall. He then talked of some of China's great problems. And here's his conclusion. Here's what he said. If we do not spread the gospel, China is doomed. No man can bring peace. No man can remove bitterness and resentment. No man can change hearts. No man can change hatred. No man can bring humility. No man can bring unity. Only the Lord Jesus, only the gospel can change hearts. My friends, I'm 100% in agreement with the pastor. We live in a country of great, great freedoms, but these freedoms are being threatened almost every day. And the outlook and the storm clouds are growing that we can see that we're going and could go in a direction directly opposite to what our privileges and our foundations have been. Recognizing and realizing that these changes could be disastrous for us, let us remember that the ultimate solution is always the Lord. The ultimate political solution for our country as well as China is the truth of the gospel in Christ. It is the biggest influence in life, in politics, in the society around us. And we are its proclaimers. Only the Lord Jesus can and make lasting change. Well, a few last little exhortations. Over in 1 Timothy, Timothy tells us, 2nd chapter, verse 1, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. First of all, to pray for all people. Pray for each other. Obviously, we're dealing with a pandemic in our nation, and there are many people that have to deal with this. Our first responders, our doctors, our nurses, our nursing home care, our EMS people, these people are being worked and worked overtime trying to minister to and bring aid and comfort to those who are dealing with the disease. Obviously, though, we ought to pray for those policemen and our firefighters and those that are around us that have authority. Pray for those to have strength and courage and humility, to do right, do justice in your eyes. Pray for that evil emperor, because remember, Paul is writing Timothy during the Roman Empire. And so Paul says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. That meant the Roman emperor, he who was killing and persecuting believers. But Paul said, pray for all people. That meant him too. Well, somebody has said, modern Christians are too earthly minded to be any heavenly good. I hope that that's not the case. I think I understand what they're saying. But Paul in Philippians says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Political leaders can do some good. They're not the ultimate solution. The problem that we face is not simply in Washington, D.C. It's not simply in our state governments. It's not simply because of radical groups that are infecting our nation. But the problem is human nature. We have a sin nature. We have a sin problem. And the only thing that can change that and bring a restoration of civility, a restoration of love, of brotherly love. The city of Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love, is the Lord Jesus. Our task is to be a bulwark for our nation, that we might grow in grace and might be strong in the Lord. This Tuesday is our election. This Tuesday, we as free people in a free nation have the opportunity to go to the polls. Maybe you've already went, and that's wonderful. But this Tuesday is election day. And I encourage you to go and vote. First, having prayed about who to vote for. Then, to go and vote and exercise that privilege of voting. And voting, Lord, with the Lord's principles, not with the desires of our heart, not with the promises of politicians, whether it be President Trump or Vice President Biden. They cannot keep those promises less and unless the Lord helps them to do so. We have senators. We have congressmen all running as well. Again, look at their records. What is their record on abortion? What is their record on human rights? What is their record on education? What does their record reflect in their everydayness of regular situations that so affect us? Education, physical, medical, all these should be taken into consideration. We might not be able to ascertain all the information that we might want, but if we pray about it, I'm sure and I'm confident that the Lord will lead us to vote. And in voting, we're saying, Lord, we place our lives, our nation, our children, our grandchildren in your hands. And I pray, Father, that you will bless us in a marvelous and wonderful way. Just as I left this morning to come here to the church to make this broadcast, I saw on Fox News two little ladies, one who voted for Roosevelt. She's 100 and some years old, I believe, and her niece, which was 90 some years old, and she was going to vote the other day. And the reporter asked her, why did you go to the polls in person and vote? And she said, I thought it was so cute, but so right. She says, because that's what I always do. Well, we need to go to the polls and vote as well. If we don't vote, we might as well just say we don't care. If we don't vote, then we're not exercising this great privilege that we have been given. And if we don't exercise that great privilege, it will soon be gone. So again, Lord, I ask that you would bless this day and our gathering together, even via the internet. Lord, there are those this morning who have problems in their lives that a touch from you can only bring about a healing. I thank you for those answered prayers that we've had, and I pray, Father, you will continue to do so. But Lord, as we move towards this Tuesday, if you give us this Tuesday, Lord, we pray your blessings on this nation. We pray, even as George Washington asked, for a blessing upon us as a people. Lord, we thank you who you are and what you do. And we ask these things in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.